Welcome to the MDS podcast, the official podcast of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society. I am your host, Sara Camargos, from the Federal University of Minas Gerais, Brazil. Since 2021, Movement Disorders Clinical Practice Journal has introduced the Annual Paper of the Year Award to recognize the high-quality content published in the journal. Members of advisory and editorial boards selected the top three papers from the last 10 issues, divided in two categories, research articles and review articles. Today, I am joined by Dr. Charulata Shankla, whose paper entitled Movement Disorders in Patients with Subacute Sclerosing Panencephalitis, a Systematic Review, has been selected as the review of the year. Dr. Charu is a neurologist from Induja National Hospital in Mumbai, India. Congratulations, Dr. Shankla, and thank you for agreeing to talk with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for a nice introduction.
Many of our listeners, including myself, have actually never seen a patient with measles, since it's been eliminated in several countries thanks to strong vaccination programs. For those who might not be familiar, could you tell us what subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, SSPE, is, and what first got you interested in this topic?
SSPE is actually a chronic measles infection which settles in the brain. And it's because the virus either has mutated or the vaccination is inadequate because of the breakage in the cold chain. In such a big hot country like India, we do see the measles outbreak now and again. In India, in fact, the age of onset of the measles is much earlier, at the age of 6 months or so. So the vaccination program actually has included two vaccines. One is at the younger age and one is at the slightly older age, so that they don't miss this vaccine schedule. But in spite of that, we still see this chronic infection called SSP. And we feel it's because either the virus is mutated, and that's the reason the host response, immune response, is not able to eradicate it completely. And it settles in the brain, and it's the inadequacy of the host response to eradicate this virus that leads to this chronic infection in the brain. And the most dense build up the response, that means the measles antibodies are positive in the CSF and we make a diagnosis. That means the response is there, but it's not adequate. And I think that it's because virus is at the bottom change, which leads to its assistance and it escapes this immune checkpoint. And that's the reason we see the chronicity of the SSP. If you are an Indian neurologist, you will see SSP in your residency. You'll see there's an attending, you'll see there's a faculty, more commonly in the government setup where the poorer, lower socioeconomic patients are a little less commonly in the academic and the private setup.
And how difficult is to diagnose SSPE, and what are the most challenging differentials?
So we do see the patients with SSP present with the cognitive decline, and usually that's the first presentation of the SSP. The parents of the child will come to you saying that he's not doing well in this school, or he's behaving in a very odd manner. The things he could do earlier, he's not able to do his school homework or schoolwork. Or sometimes we see it in the older children, and there also we start noticing that they have a problem with their cognition. And that's the initial symptom in most of the patients. We do see movement disorders as a presenting symptom, but when we see these patients, the cognition, if we check it properly, is always slightly affected. So it's a combination of movement disorders, usually hyperkinetic movement disorders, cognitive decline, and the very typical myoclonus that we see in these particular patients. It's almost agnostic to this particular patient, and it's time-locked with the EEG. So if you get the EEG correlated, then the diagnosis is very easy. Then the penny drops. But if you don't have that EEG correlate, then usually we follow up these patients and we repeat the EEG at the subsequent follow-up, and then we do get these very classical periodic complexes that we see in the patients with SSP. The second step that we do is we do PSF because it's a subacute presentation. So usually in the subacute presentation, we are thinking of inflammation and subacute infection. So inflammation is also another part of the encephalitis syndromes. So the CSF measles antibody titers are eliminated in these particular patients. And that's the additional clue to your diagnosis. Brain biopsy is usually not done in India, but I've seen the reports case reports, particularly in this new article of the brain biopsies from the rest of the parts of the world as well, and isolating the measles virus from the brain as well. So that is the classical presentation. But we do see the atypical presentation when it gets a little difficult, because then we have to wait and see what's happening to the patient. Is he going to develop that classical myoclonus, or is he going to not develop the classical myoclonus?
So there are patients that don't have myoclonus.
It may not be the presenting symptom. And that's when it becomes a little challenging. I'll give you an example of a girl whose video has been mentioned in this particular paper. This young girl came with a post-scholastic performance and she had choreohormones. And we didn't know what was causing this. Everyone, and she was HIV positive since birth. So everyone thought this is a chorea related to HIV. And we investigated her. And he did everything that was possible. And she came for a subsequent, we put her on the tetrabenazine for the chorea. She came for a subsequent follow-up. She became slightly slow. And then the belly drop, we saw the myoclonus when she was walking. For a transient moment, she paused when she was walking. The chorea paused, and then she had that jerk. So immediately we took her to the EEG room, and he had the EEG. So this is how the diagnosis is made. Sometimes we don't get it at the first consult, and subsequently we start seeing the myoclonus in majority of the patients.
So myoclonus is one of the core symptoms of the SSPE and is really important for the diagnosis. And how it shows up in patients and what we know about the origin of the myoclonus?
So the myoclonus and SSP is very unusual. If you have seen the videos that we put up in this review article, it's a slow myoclonus. It's a slow hunger myoclonus. That's what makes it distant than the usual myoclonus. And it is time locked with the EEG, but the time locking is variable in different studies that have been put up. So the myoclonus at times is associated with the eye radiation. And this eye deviation precedes the EEG correlate. And that's the reason they thought it could be originally from the brainstem where the eye movements occur, and then the subsequent EEG changes occur. So they thought that the origin is from the brainstem. But then there are many studies which have looked at the EEG correlates, and they've got the EEG correlates coming from the cortex and subcortical region as well. But eventually, it goes down to the brainstem. And it's a very unique myoclonus if you see it. It's slow. It has a rapid component, and then it's slow.
There is a slow component.
It's a slow component.
Yes. And your paper took me on an interesting journey through movement disorders and SSP. I think you evaluated more than 400 people through the papers. In 98 papers, is that correct?
Correct, yes, yes.
And what movement disorders did you collect other than myoclonus?
So the other disorders are mainly hyperkinetic. They are much more common. So we see ataxia, we see dystonia. As I said, this patient had chorea. And we do see tics as well as stereotypies and repetitive movements. Either their hand movements or their leg movements. And occasionally, the patient may have paroxysmal movements as well. Rarely, we see hypokinetic movement disorder as a presenting symptom of the SSP. But as the SSP progresses, these patients become hypokinetic and they become rigid. And the end stage, that is the stage 3 and 4, is actually akinetic rigid, leading to akinetic mutism and then coma, and then the subsequent death. So they do die. Some of them have a prolonged course, some of them have a very fulminant course, making you suspect the diagnosis again. Whether you are dealing with another viral encephalitis, which is an acute viral encephalitis, or you are actually dealing with the SSP.
How do you see these patients in long terms, for example, they stay chronically with the disease like years?
Yes. Majority of them are chronically with this particular disease. But there is a very surprising thing that happens to these patients. Some of them undergo remission, a spontaneous remission, to the extent that they completely are normal clinically. So we had a patient when I was doing my residency who had an SSP, and he reversed his all the symptoms. He was akinetic. And he went back to college only to come back after a year, again manifesting the same symptoms and subsequently second illness. So they do have the spontaneous remission, do not know what causes the virus to suddenly go into the remission, or whether it's a response of the host that goes into remission, you have no idea. But SSP does go into remission in few patients. But all the patients subsequently die. So they have stages 1, 2, 3. And then the stage 3 is usually hypokinetic, akinetic.
Wow. And it seems that SSPE can happen even people that who never had measles or only had incomplete vaccination. I also saw one of your reports that the case of a 20-year-old woman who got measles as a baby was lady fully vaccinated and still developed SSPE, passing away just 3 months after the symptoms began. How do you make sense of cases like this?
So that's the thing. That's what intrigues us, because some of our patients are fully vaccinated. It's not that the vaccination status isn't complete. This patient that I mentioned to you with HIV, she was fully vaccinated. But I guess the HIV status may have compromised, but her counts were normal and HIV was very stable. She had normal CD4 counts, and yet she got SSP, and that's what killed her rather than the HIV itself. So I think it's a host immune response which decides what's going to happen. And again, I feel that the regional variations are also there in the virus. So I guess we are seeing a mutant virus which is probably not allowing to the host to build up the adequate immune response in spite of the vaccination. And the majority of these children, almost 50% of them, are fully vaccinated. India has a double vaccine program. So if you miss one vaccine, you have the second vaccine. So it's difficult to explain this in a fully vaccinated child.
We have a lot to learn. Is there a treatment?
So we do try isotretinoin and we do give interferons, but it doesn't reverse the syndrome. It continues to progress. It may give you a period where the disease seems to stabilize with all these treatments that we have used. I have a pediatric neurologist whom I work with, and we used to give a lot of these, a combination of the drugs, but only to stabilize the patient for a few months, and then patients will progress and will eventually succumb to the ES. So similar to what we see with OCD or things go virus diseases.
Yes. So your experience for treating these patients are not very encouraging.
Not very encouraging. But the moment disorders do respond, like the scoria would respond to tetrabenazine. Some of the kinetic patients did respond to levodopa for a short while, but it's not the long term. Like levodopa may help them for a few months to a year maximum, but eventually they will become more and more kinetic. They would lose their cognition, they become slow, and eventually comatose. It's a very heartbreaking.
Yeah. Do you have a special message for us to diagnose and treat this patient?
Yes, the special message is that a lot of developed countries have given up on measles vaccination because of the fear of it causing or various other disorders. And I think this resurgence of the measles will eventually lead to the SSP cases being seen in those countries as well. And this is what I was discussing with the colleagues for mental disorders, that giving up of the measles vaccine will be a problem eventually. And I think this is a diagnosis that one should keep when you see a young child or an adolescent with cognitive decline and motor disorders, particularly hyperkinetic motor disorders. And if you have that mild illness, then you must do the EEG to make the diagnosis. And you can do the CSF studies to look at the basis antibody titers. And that will give you a clue without the brain biopsy to the accurate diagnosis, fairly accurate diagnosis.
Yeah, perfect. I actually encourage all the listeners to check out the video presentations of the cases included in the article. They are really fascinating and add a lot of depth into the discussion. Dr. Charu, thank you so much for being here with us, and congratulations again on your paper.
Thank you so much.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders, and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.